All right, let's get started. Okay. Ellie, if you don't mind, would you mind muting your phone? There's background noise, thanks. To be able to mute him, then I'm yeah, okay. I guess we're right. Okay. All right. So we are holding. Hello. We're holding on Chof Chesam Abayis, three lines from the bottom. So going back to then, so the Mishnah had mentioned that the Mishnah had mentioned a drasha that how do we know that a sota or a sophic sota if there's no sota water for her to drink for whatever reason, or a vade sota where we know she was mizana, either way she's not only also to her husband, she's also to the boyle, to the guy that she had the affair with. Which means if her husband ever dies or divorces her, she still also can marry that guy. How do we know that? The Mishnah had said, we learn it from the fact that the pasuk says nitma'a v'nitma'a. She became tamei and she became tamei. So that got us into the discussion. Actually, there's actually three times in the psukim where it uses the word nitma, twice without a vav and once with it. Now, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara had mentioned that Rabbi Akiva also darshins vav to mean something extra. So the quote of yesterday of Braita that said like this: there's three times the nitma, nitma, v'nitma. Rabbi Akiva says we learn from that, one is that she's also to her husband, two is that she's also to the boyle, three is that she's also to Truma. Even if she's a bas kohen, even if she's a wife of a kohen, she's also to Truma. Then all of a sudden, Rabbi Shmuel came in kind of out of left field and said, you know, we have a Kavah Chomer that says that she's also to marry a kohen.
The question is Truma then.
Well, that, no, never mind Truma. Rabbi Shmuel seems to be bringing in something that wasn't even discussed. Rabbi Akiva hadn't been saying anything about marrying a Kohen. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shmuel comes in and says, I have a Kavah Chomer for that. So that's what the Gemara is starting off with. What is he saying? Rabbi Shmuel, what is Rabbi Shmuel saying? Amar Rabbi Akiva Truma. Rabbi Akiva is telling us a drosha, how we know that a Soita is also to eat Truma, again, unless he drinks the May Soita. And Rabbi Shmuel is answering back with something about a Kavah Chomer, about her marrying a Kohen. What's the connection? And not only that, Rabbi Akiva Kohen Menale. After all, Rabbi Akiva does agree with the din that a Sota is going to be also to marry a Kohen. Rabbi Shmuel, we say, is getting it from a Kavah Chomer. Where is Rabbi Akiva getting it from? He can't get it from the same Kavah Chomer, otherwise there's no argument. So necessarily, he must be getting it from someplace else. You might argue that according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say you don't need any pasuk or any kavah chomer to teach us. We don't need a pasuk or anything. Because in the case of a sota, what are we saying? We're in the case of a sofik sota, the classic case of sota that we've been talking throughout the sefer, we don't know for sure that she's tamei. We know there was kinri. We know there was stira. We don't know that she actually had an affair with this guy. And yet we're saying that the Sophic Zoyna, she's considered exactly like a Zoyna. Therefore, she's also to her husband. Tosfos had mentioned yesterday an idea that we don't just mean she's also to her husband besides the Sophic. We mean that actually she's also to her husband as if it was a Vaday. Tosfos had talked about, for example, you can have a case of a Sophic, a classic case of a Sophic. You know, you have a piece of meat in front of you. You have a piece of fat in front of you. You're not sure whether it's Chelev, which is also a shuman, which is mutter, and you ate it, and you're not sure whether it was chaylev or not. You may have to bring an asher toluy, depending on the circumstances. Here, it's not a sophic, is she also to him, is it not? The Torah is making it considered as if she's as a vaday, as a definite thing.
How can you make a sophic a vaday?
In this case, the Torah is telling us that it is. That this case is a sota, it is. Which actually the Gemara had said yesterday, and we're going to discuss a little further soon, that from this we learn a whole concept, hello, about Sophic Tumah B'Rishus HaYachid, which we've touched on it before, it's in Nazir and in a few other places, that if you have a Sophic in your Rishus HaYachid, whether there was Tumah, whether you touch Tumah or not, you will be considered Tumah. We actually learn that from Sota. Just like by Sota, but well, in other words, right, by the Sota it's a Sophic, there it's also a Sophic. We're treating it as if it was a Vade. So therefore, you could argue that given that a Zoyna is also to marry a Kohen, meaning if we know she was Vada a Zoyna, she had relations with somebody she's also to, in this case, a Sota, Kinnery, and Spira, which makes only a Sofik, granted, but we're treating it as if it was Vada. So then, fine, she's automatically also to a Kohen. We don't need any Kavachomer for that. We don't need any Pasuk for that.
Let me ask you a question. If there are many Sota, and that's the only way to distinguish whether she's Sofik or Vada, how can you say she's a Vadai without her drinking the Mesota?
What we mean is she's a Sofik as long as she doesn't drink the Mesota. The Mesota are meant to take care of that Sofik. If one of the many reasons that are possible she doesn't or can't drink the Mesota, then we treat her as if she was Vadai Tomei. She has to divorce her husband. In most cases, we said she loses her Ksuba unless it was her husband's fault that she's not drinking, etc. Yes. In that case, you could argue the Gemara says Truma Nami Leitzi Boi Kro. Well, by that logic, you shouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that she's also to eat Truma either. Shadei also basafik Zona Kazona. Same logic, in other words. We're saying that a Vadei Zona would be also to eat Truma. And Tosfos Shams brings a long discussion where exactly we know that from, but be that as it may, that's what the Gemara is assuming, that a Vadei Zona would be also to eat Truma. So therefore, and again, therefore, if we're saying that a Sofik Sota is effectively the equivalent of a Vada, very well, she's also teach Truma. So you're back to, so Rabbi Akiva can ask himself. So so Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like he's arguing with Rabbi Shmuel, saying you want to bring a Kavachomer that she can't marry a Kohen. I'm saying you don't need a Kavachomer, well, you don't need anything to teach us she's also teach Truma as well. And yet you're learning it from one of the Vinny's Mars. Air wants to know. It works like this. According to Rabbi Akiva, effectively there's four psukim because it says three times nitmar, and one of them it says with a vav, and we said that Rabbi Akiva darshens a vav as if it was an extra word. So therefore, he has three times nitmar and one vav, from which he can learn four different things. Chav labal, one teaches us she's also to her husband. The Chav LaBoyel, the second one that she's also... One of these four. Doesn't matter which one is which. One of them teaches us she's also to her husband until she drinks the Mesota. Or again, if we know that if it was Vaday that she's Tomei, there were eight to her, or she admitted it, or whatever it is. The Chav LaBoyel, one that she's also to the Boyel. The Chav LaKavona, the third one teaches us that she's also to marry a Kohen. What Rabbi Shmuel was trying to learn from a Kavachomer, Rabbi Akiva instead learns from one of his four psukim. And the fourth one teaches us that she's also teach Truma. Rabbi Shmuel answers back. Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't darshan vav. I don't darshan vav to mean anything extra. So therefore, I only have tlosakroi ksivi. I only have three psukim available, three times nitma. Therefore, chad labal, v'chad laboyo, v'chad latruma. What about kavona? Asu v'kavachomer. That we need a kavachomer. So now we understand what that braisa was saying. Rabbi Akiva started by saying, echad labal, v'echad laboyo, v'echad latruma. He didn't add also in the Braisa, but now we're explaining that that's what he meant, that actually there's a fourth one over there from which we learn that she's also to marry a Kohen. Comes in Rabbi Shmuel and says, no, you learn that from a Kavachomer. Okay. Now the question is, Rabbi Shmuel, so according to Rabbi Akiva, fine, we understand very well, we have four psukim, so we have four things to learn. If Rabbi Shmuel has to learn one of them by a Kavachomer, then let's consider it. Rabbi Shmuel, mi'mai di'hitzer k'ral l'truma, who says that pasuk is there to teach you that the sofik soit, that the soita or sofik soit or whatever is also to eat truma, or kohuna after a kavachomer, and then you're going to say by a kavachomer that she can't marry a kohen. The kavachomer, by the way, in the braisa, the kavachomer had gone like this. A divorced woman is mutter to eat truma, namely if she's the daughter of a kohen and was married to a Yisrael, she got divorced from her husband, they didn't have any children, then she's allowed to go back to truma de Beit Nasha, to truma from her father's house, and go eat it, as we learned about this a lot in Yevamos. But yet she's also to marry a kohen. So a soita who's also to eat truma, how much more so is she also to marry a kohen? The question is, so what does that mean? In other words, we're taking it as a given that she can't eat truma. Rabbi Shmuel was learning it from one of the three psukim, and using that as a basis for a kavachomer that she can't marry a kohen. Maybe the other way around. Dilma ki itzrich with korona. The kavachomer starts. The Rabbi Shmuel's kavachomer starts from the fact that a sofer can't eat truma. In other words, he's taking it as a given that one of the three vinitmas teaches us that she'll be also to eat truma. Again, even if she's the daughter of a kohen, the wife of a kohen, doesn't matter. She won't be able to eat truma once she became a sota, unless she drinks the water.
Because that's
what he's saying. He learned it from one of the three vinitmas. The question, and then he's using that as a basis for a kavachomer to teach us that she can't marry a kohen. Why? Maybe.
At what point?
Meaning, even if her husband dies, for example, that she'll be also to marry a kohen. We're not saying one has to do with the other. We're saying by a kavah chomer from the fact that she can't eat truma, she can't marry a kohen because of a grusha. Yeah. So the question is, why don't we say the other way around? Maybe the pasuk is teaching us that she's also to marry a kohen, which you would need that because, okay, fine, you know, you said before that we make a suffix like a babad, but after all, okay, maybe not. Maybe, you know, the fact of the matter is there is still a degree of suffix over here. And then we would say, it's truma shalya, then she is allowed to eat truma. The answer is, Amalach, Rabbi Shmuel can answer, you mistabra dumya the baal boil. Yes, but it's logical to say, given that we have two of the three psukim teach us that she's also to her husband and she's also to the boil, it's logical that whatever the third thing is we learn from the pasuk has to somehow be similar to those two. Namely, ma baal boil mechayim, just like the isser of baal and the isser of boil applies while the husband is alive. Meaning, in other words, if the husband divorces her and is still alive, then she's also to the boil. So it can be it can be while the husband is alive. It can be after he's dead. But the point is, the issue of boil can go into effect while her husband is still alive. Her ex-husband, in this case, he divorces her, and she'll be also to marry the boil. Therefore, it's logical to say that the issur that we learn from it is an issur of truma, which can also come into effect while her ex-husband is alive. As opposed to the issur of marrying a kohen, when you get down to it, if her husband divorces her, of course she can't marry a kohen. She's a grusha anyhow. Forget about being a soza. The fact that she's a grusha makes her off limits to a kohen. When would the issur kohuna kick in? It could only kick in after her husband dies. If her husband didn't divorce her, he died with them still married, where normally we would say she'd be able to marry a kohen, except that exactly. And you'd want to say that the pasuk is teaching us, therefore, that no, she can't marry a kohen. No, we're not going to do that, because then that issur is different than the other two. The issur of baal and boil can happen while the husband is still alive. The issur to baal necessarily is while the husband is alive. The issur of boil can be either way. The issur of kohen could necessarily only be after the husband died. Therefore, more logically, we should say that the pasuk is teaching us about the issur of truma, which also can kick in while her husband is alive, her husband divorced her, and normally were it not for the fact that she was a soita, since she doesn't have any children from her husband, the Yisrael, she can go back to eating truma. Like this, she's not. So therefore, we assume that the pasuk is referring to truma, and then we can use that as a basis for a kavah chomer to teach us that she's also to a kohen. Yeah. Okay, Rav Akiva, what would Rav Akiva answer to that? Why does Rav Akiva need four psukim then? Okay, do me the baal boil lesley. He holds fine. You're not necessarily. You know, you can't necessarily say that the third one has to be similar to the other two. Each one is its own limud. So therefore there's no more logical reason to say that you should say that you should use one of them for truma than that you should use it for kohuna, since Rabbi Akiva has two of them available anyway, then fine. He uses one for Truma, one for Corona, and he doesn't need any Kavachimers. Rabbi Akiva is the one who doubts on the Vav, yeah. The Inami Islay, and another possibility, even we could say, even if Rabbi Akiva does hold of the concept, of, even if Rabbi Akiva would hold, like Rabbi Shmuel, and argue that maybe after all you could have compared them, whatever Baal and Boyle has to apply to the third one. Nevertheless, you could say, Milsa da'asti b'kavachomer tarach l'kaf of l'krov. We find sometimes that something which we could have learned with a kavachomer, the pasuk still takes the trouble to write it out anyway. So here, Rabbi Akiva would say, yes, maybe, fine, we could argue, like Rabbi Shmuel is arguing, that we could have learned, we could have learned out the Issa Corona from a kavachomer. We could have done with only three v'nitmas, or two nitmas and a vav, whatever it is. Instead of making us have to use the kavah chomer, the pasuk wrote it out for us, so we can learn it that way. Not really better. True, a kavah chomer is one of the Yudgil Midrash HaTorah, but sometimes the Torah will do it. Actually, the Bnei Yisofsar says an interesting idea, which is that in a way it's better. He says, because when you think about it, out of the Yudgil Midrash, the kavah chomer is the only one that is really, you know, that not logical. I mean, all of them are logical, but like, you know, something that exists in any logical system, a kavosoma will exist. The other one is Zeta Shava, Binyan Av, etc., are ones specific to the Torah. You know, I mean, they're not really used in other literature. Kavosoma can be used anywhere. So therefore, the Torah wants to clarify for us, appropriate now with Hanukkah coming up, that don't think, yes, we have to use our brains to learn the Torah, including logical things, things that the whole world knows about, like Kavos Chomer. Don't think that that's really what the Torah is all about. The Torah is actually, it's ultimately Ratzon of Chachmasei, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we'll write out a pasuk as if to say, a Kavos Chomer, very nice, you use a Kavos Chomer where it's appropriate, but you should know that's not the be-all and end-all of everything. There's something higher than a Kavos Chomer. Okay. So now that we dealt with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, so now let's continue with yesterday's Gemara on Chof Chesem Adays. The Gemara had done a further limud from this whole Chof Chesem Aleph Adays. We talked about a further thing that we can learn from this whole concept of Soita. We're saying that a Soita, we're making the Sofik like a Vadai. We're saying that even though it's only a Sofik, whether there was Tumah or not, we're considering as if she was Vadai Tomei until she drinks the water. And we said, based on that, then we're learning from that the general concept that in a case of Suffolk tumor, it will be considered tummy. And we said, then the Gemara had gone on to say that it has to be exactly comparable to a soita. A soita, by definition, happens only in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rosh Hashanah Yachid, by the way, for this purpose, doesn't necessarily mean the same as it does in Hilchos Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Avim, as far as the dinim of tumor v'tara, basically means how many people are there at any given time. We talked about this another. Sota, pretty much by definition, is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because you have the Sota and you have the suspected Bottle. You have only two over there. If there was another person seeing them, then it wouldn't be. There wouldn't be any issue in the first place. We'd know whether there was Tumah or not. Therefore, we learn from that a Sofet Tumah in Rosh Hashanah, only in Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Tumah. If you have a Sofet, whether you touched something Tumah in Rosh Hashanah Avim, you'll be Tahar. And then we said also another detail of it is that a soita is davash yesh by das lishol. She has the das to be asked, did you in fact become tummy with this guy or not? Now, not that we'll take her if she says no, we're not going to take her at her word. We're still going to take her to drink the May soita. But we are capable of asking her and getting a rational answer. The same way, then, we learn from that that the concept of Sofet Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yachid also only applies to somebody who's capable of being asked and given a rational answer, as opposed to, for example, a young child or an inanimate object, where we're not Kaylee, let's say, we're not sure whether it became Tumah or not, even in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the Sofet will still be Tahar. So now we're going to analyze that a little further. Omer of Gidol Omer Rav, Dovash Yesh Be'das Lishol Ve'en Be'das Lishol, this detail that we just mentioned, that we mentioned before, about the difference whether it has das to be asked or not, we were saying that we were saying we learned it from a soita, there's actually mehai kronach. Rather, we don't learn it from a soita, or maybe we need to learn it from both, but as the Gemara will say soon, but we learn it actually from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, in connection with kodshim, any of the flesh of a korban that touches anything tamei, like for example shlamim, the meat of a shlamim that touches anything tamei, lo ye'ochel, cannot be eaten. Which implies vaday tamei hu delo ye'ochel. So only if we know for sure it became tamei, asher yigav b'chol tamei, that we know it touched something tamei, then you can't eat it. Ha'safek tamei v'safek tamei ye'ochel. Which sounds like if there's a safek, whether it became tamei or not, then it sounds like you could eat it. But then look at the next part of the same pasuk. It continues, "V'habaser as far as the meat, kol tahor yochal baser. Only if the meat is tahor can you eat the meat." The simple meaning of the pasuk, by the way, kol tahor means that the person has to be tahor. Here, the Gemara apparently is dashing since it's v'habaser kol tahor means that we have to know that the meat itself is tahor. So therefore, it sounds like the other way around. Vaday tahor hu yochal baser. So it sounds like only if we know for sure it's tahor, you can eat the meat. Ha-safek tamer v'safek tahor lo yochal. But if you have a safek, you can't. So what is it? Can you eat it if there's a safek, or can you not eat it if there's a safek?
The
Rishon and the Sefer, the same pasuk. Not the Braisa, the pasuk. The pasuk, yeah. El olav shmamina. So no, we can prove from that that's the difference. Kan she yesh b'das lishol, kan she ein b'das lishol. It depends whether there's das to be asked or not. Meaning, so actually no. So in the second half of the pasuk, v'abasa kol tahor yochal baser, we are talking about a person who's tahor. So what it is like this. The first half of the pasuk says v'abasa asher yigav b'chol tamei. Baser is an inanimate object. It doesn't have das lishol. Therefore, the pasuk is implying if you have a sofek, whether it touched something tame, go ahead and eat it, because it's only a sofek. The end of the pasuk, the habaser, kol tahor yechabaser, is talking about the person has to be tahor in order to eat the meat. And it means he has to be definitely tahor. If there's a sofek, then no good. Why? Because he has das lishol. He has the ability to be asked, did you touch this tumor or not? Again, he may not know the circumstances. He himself may not know, but at least he's a person who you would be able to ask a question and get a rational answer to. Yes, no, or I don't know, as opposed to meat, which you can ask.
So if you cannot ask him, is it bad tumor? If you cannot answer.
No, so that's the thing. What we're saying is, if it's in Rishus Yochid, he doesn't. If Yeshba Das Lishol, he has the ability to be. He has the knowledge to be. He has the mental capability to be able to answer.
Right.
And it's in Rishus Yochid. Then Misafik will be tummy. That we learned about this in Nazir, for example, in connection with an eight. As I saw the two Nazirim in a courtyard, I saw some tumah land next to one of you, and I'm not sure which one. But if he has no das, so for example, he's a young child, or if it's in Rishus Rabim, then Sveik Etar.
Yeah, exactly that point. That's not a
right. Well, when we say he has das, we don't mean that he knows about this particular circumstance. We mean that he has the mental capability to be able to know whether to know in general whether he became Tomei or whether he became Tomei or not. Maybe the same thing. Yeah. He has das.
Full das.
No, what he said, a mute person meaning, yeah, he can't speak, but he can hear, yeah. He's considered to have full daf. Only a chera she'enim adab of ena shemeya, who can't, deaf mute is considered to have a lack of daf, yeah. So the Gemara says, v'itzrich de abjidul amarav, v'itzrich l'migma mesoyta. As a matter of fact, we actually need both limudim. We need the limud from the case of shlomim, and we also need the limud from soyta, in order to learn this din, that yesh be daf lishol. Why? The image of Rav, if we only had Rav's statement, the one that we just mentioned now about the meat of the Shlomim, Hava Amina Ben Bishas Yochab Ben Bishas Rabin, then you would think the Pasuk's not making any distinction where it happened. It just says if the meat is, if there's a Suffolk tumor in the meat, if there's a Suffolk tumor on the person, nothing about the location. It's Yitzchuk L'migma Misoita, therefore we need to learn it from Soita. The Imi Soita, if we only had the limit from Soita, Hava Amina Ati Ikadas Negea Umagia, then you would think that maybe in order for there to be sofek tumah, you need that both parties involved have das. Namely, in the case of a soita, the boyol has das, and the nivellus, the soita, has das. So maybe it would need to be in order for sofek tumah rishus yachid to be tameh, you would think that maybe you have to have that both parties have to be. For example, so then you would say, for example, let's say you were in a rishus yachid together with a zav, let's say, and you're not sure whether he touched you or not. You and the zav both have das lishol, therefore fine. But if, let's say, for example, the question is, you are in a rishus yachid, you're not sure if you touched a dead sheret. The sheret has no das lishol. You would think, based on the soita issue, on the soita scenario, you would be tar. There's no, you don't have both parties. The negea, the one who's touching, and the magia, the one who's being touched. Yeah. Have das. Tzricha, so therefore we need the case of the carbon where you have a person who has das and the meat that does not have das. And therefore we learn that. The Farshim talk about an interesting question in this connection. If we're saying that based on the idea of soita, you're saying that in the case of the soita, both the negea and the magia have das. What about, for example, we talked about the other day whether you can be mekane based on whether stira is considered stira after kinui with a katan between 9 and 13 years old. And you can also ask the question, what about a katana? What about a girl who was married? Now, if she was married off by her mother or brothers, it's only drabanan anyway, so then the whole concept of soita doesn't apply. But if she was married off by her father, where her father has the ability to marry her off deraisa, as we learned previously, then... Well, then, on the face of it, then maybe there isn't das on both sides.
Okay.
So one answer is there are in fact Rishonim who say that a girl below bas mitzvah who was married off by her father in fact cannot become a soita because she doesn't have full das yet. In fact, there's a Gemara we learned from Kesubas that's a pitu ktana oinasu, that if a person seduces a ktana, where normally you'd have the dinim of mafater, where you have to, he has a choice whether to marry her or to pay a fine or whatever. But if it's a kana oinus, that's considered oinus. It's considered the equivalent of rape, because you don't have to say that as well. It's a statutory rape, basically. So then there's that. In other words, so she couldn't be a soita, because it would be, at her age, it would be considered oinus. On the other hand, the Rambam does say that a girl that was married off by her father is subject to being a soita. So according to him, the Farshim talk about then, when we're saying over here, yesh be'das, doesn't necessarily have to be, a person doesn't necessarily have to be bar bas mitzvah in order to have this das lichol. They can be even younger than that. A child 10 or 11 years old, yesh be'am das lichol, you're able to ask them a question and get a rational answer. In most cases, in general, I mean, we talked about Ksubas, for example, that a child below six, for example, has no concept of a mekach memka, has no concept of business deals at all, and therefore anything they buy and sell is not really considered a valid sale. Above 10, most kids do have that understanding. Between 6 and 10, you have to find out, you have to ask, you have to question them and find out how much they understand about what it means to buy and sell. But the points can be. I mean, given that we would have to be talking about then an older girl, one who indeed has enough das to be able to understand. Well, without that, I mean, if she's below the age of das anyway, then the kinnery can't be a valid kinnery. If her husband tells her I'll be sussy and explaining, she's not going to know what that means anyhow. Right. So necessarily, it has to be talking about an older. Necessarily, then it has to be talking about an older child. And in that case, then yes, yesh v'das lishol. And the same thing as far as if we say that you can do kinnery with a boy between 9 and 13, as the Rambam has said, same idea then, that the boy above 9 already, generally speaking, yesh v'das lishol. The Mishnah continued, that the Mishnah then mentioned a series of the rest of the Mishnah, which is actually the rest of the Perek, because in the Gemara over here, they jammed all the Mishnayos together of the Perek into one big Mishnah. But the Mishnah continued after these couple of drushes that had to do with the dinim of Sota, and therefore are relevant to our Masechta. The Gemara had brought in, the Mishnah had brought in a bunch of other drushes that Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus had darshan boi ba yoim, on the day that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a Nasi. But now comes the next one. The Mishnah had said that Rav Akiva had darshin, based on a pasuk, that food that became a sheni l'tuma is able to make other food a shlishi l'tuma if it touches it. So you have, for example, a sheretz, which is an avatuma, falls into an oven, which the oven then becomes a rishon l'tuma. We're assuming it's an earthenware oven. Earthenware becomes tame when tuma is in the inside of it, even if it's untouched.
Not
on the outside, but even if, for example, you take a sheret suspended by a string into the opening of the oven, the oven will become tame. As far as I know, yeah. No, once the inside becomes tame, the whole thing becomes tame. But what we mean is if the sheret touches the outside of the oven, nothing happens. But anyway, so the sheretz is an avatuma. It falls into the oven, which then becomes a rishon l'tuma. You have bread, let's say, baking in the oven, which then becomes a sheni l'tuma. Rabbi Akiva had darshan, the pasuk over there, to say that bread is capable of making other food tamei, meaning that you'll have such a thing as shlishi l'tuma. But then the Gemara had mentioned, Rabbi Yeshua had said that, you know, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai all his life had been concerned about that people, there's going to be a dur acha, there's going to be some hypothetical future generation that is going to say that there's no such thing, there's no such thing as a shlishi l'tumah, because you don't have a pasuk for it. Now Rabbi Akiva has come and found a pasuk for it. So the question is, the Gemara says, so if there's no pasuk, lama tome, why indeed is a shlishi l'tumah tome? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai obviously knew it was. That's why he was concerned that it might be forgotten. And you can't say, for example, no, he didn't know. That's the point. All of a sudden now, after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has passed away, a few years later, Rabbi Akiva is coming up with this pasuk. That's what Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah, Mi Yigala Ofer Meinecha, Alavai, we could uncover the dirt from your eyes, Rabbi Yechon and Zaka, Alavai, we can get you up for Tchayas HaMesim, so you'd have a chance to see how Rabbi Akiva is finding a pasuk for this. Although, actually,
Rabbi Akiva has to wait until...
He didn't, that's when he first came up with it. But, I don't know, it's not that he had to wait, but that's just how it happened to be. Actually, I was mentioning when we learned about it in the Mishnah, you know, when it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua is saying it's kind of in a complimentary way, like, you know, look, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, all your life you were worried about this, and now you finally don't have to worry anymore. I think it might actually be based on, because there's another one in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, where Yeshua ben Hurkanus actually gives a drasha that is different than that differs with what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says. I think this one also, Rabbi Yeshua might be saying, you know, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, it's a pity you're not alive to see this, because now you should know Rabbi Akiva is arguing with you. You always said there's no posik for it. Now he found a posik. If you were alive, you could be debating about it. Anyway, the question is, obviously Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai doesn't know it, let's say, from halacha l'moshe b'sinai, because in that case he has no reason to worry that they're going to forget about it. There's lots of halacha l'moshe b'sinai. We're not worried about them being forgotten. Obviously, it must be there's some kind of limud he has for it, but a limud that he's afraid that a dor acher, that the hypothetical future generation, may disagree with it. So what is that? What Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai meant is there's no pasuk in the Torah that teaches this concept of shlishi b'tumah, contrary to Rabbi Akiva, but there is a kavachomer that we can learn it from. The kavachomer runs as follows. A tvul yoim, somebody who was tamei and then tovled, but has not yet had head of shemesh, so he's still considered, he's a minor degree of tumah. He's mutter to eat chulin, and when we say over here chulin, we don't mean regular chulin. Obviously, you can eat, a person can eat chulin even when he's 100% tamei. Chulin over here, we mean maisa sheni. Maisa sheni has certain dinim about it, but one of them is you have to eat a batara, but a tzvul yoim is allowed to eat it.
So it's not really chulin then.
It's somewhat like chulin, but it's not at the level of truma, where a tzvul yoim cannot eat it, but it is at a higher level than regular food, in that somebody who's full-fledged tamei cannot eat it.
Maser Sheni is
you take the Yerushalayim, the 9% or so that you take the Yerushalayim 4 out of every 7 years and you eat it there. So, Matzvul Yom Shemutu B'chulin, he's allowed to eat chulin, meaning Maser Sheni, posel B'truma, and yet, if he touches truma, he will make it posel. Posel means he'll make it a shlishi L'truma. We use throughout the sugya, we use the term, throughout Shas in general, usually when we say that something is tomei, means that it's not only it itself is tomei, it means it's able to make the next thing tomei. When we call it posel, what we mean is it itself is tomei, but it can't extend any further. So when we say posel by truma, what that means shlishi l'truma. When it comes to truma, you don't go beyond shlishi. If a piece of bread or whatever of truma that's shlishi touches some other food of truma, nothing happens. So far we're talking Daraisa. But a Tzvul Yoim is allowed to eat Chulin, but he passes Truma. Tika, Sheni, she possible Chulin. Well, then a loaf of bread or any other food, which is a Sheni of the Truma, which is possible by Chulin, meaning you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni if it itself is a Sheni of the Truma. Ain't it did for Yasa Shlishi, but Truma, how much more so then that it should cause that Truma should become a Shlishi? Now, Rashi points out over here that this way of doing a Kavachomer seems to violate a usual rule that we have with Kavachomers, which is a rule that you mentioned in a number of places, and notably in Bava Kamma, called Daye Lavomen Adin Lias Kinodin. When you're making a Kavachomer, you want to say that because the din is like this over here in the lighter case, therefore you want to apply it over here in the more stricter case, but you can't make it apply more in the stricter case than it did in the more lenient case. The Gemara learns it from the pasuk by Miriam that we talked about this in Nazir as well. That by Miriam, the Eibishter says that she got taras for speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu, Kael Narufanala. The Eibishter says to Moshe, look, if she had insulted her human father, she would have to consider herself in nidui for 7 days. If she insulted me, how much more so? Actually, she should really have to be for 14 days. But because Dayel of woman and didn't leave Kenodin, I'll leave it at 7 days. She shouldn't be less. The Eibishter said she shouldn't be less for insulting me than it would be for insulting her father. From there, we learn the concept of Dayel. Now over here, what are we saying? We're saying Daya meaning it's enough to say that Miriam shouldn't that Miriam insulting the Eibishter shouldn't be. We can't say that she's stronger. We can't say that she's worse off for that than insulting her father Amram. We can say that it's equal, but we can't use that kavachomer in and of itself to say that she deserves more of a punishment than that. Applying that over here, then, shouldn't we argue if we're saying that a sheni loaf of bread, which is maaser sheni, is osur, how are we using that as a basis to say that a shlishi by chulin, by truma, that would be dayel of omen adin leis kenadin? But Rashi explains because we don't do dayel where that would break apart the whole kavachomer. In the case of Miriam, we can still apply dayel and say we still have a kavachomer. She's still quarantined for 7 days. Here, if we were to use dayel, we wouldn't have a kavachomer at all because we already know truma is, of course, on the same level as chulin. at the very least. If Sheni is possible, Bamai Sheni is no good. Bamai Sheni automatically, and we know from the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva brought in the Mishnah, which even before Rabbi Akiva darshan it to teach about Shlishi, we know from that pasuk that there's such a thing as Sheni the Tumah. So then automatically we know Sheni the Tumah applies to all foods. You don't need a Kavah Chomer for that. So if you're going to use Daya, you're not going to have a Kavah Chomer in the first place. Therefore we can't apply Daya in this case, and we can say that we learn from it that there's such a thing as Shlishi Baturma. Tosfos Chanz discusses differently. Tosfos Chanz points out that in the Gemara and in the Sugya and Baba Kama about it, there's a different opinion over there of a Paufin who says that you always apply Daya even if it breaks apart the Kavah Chomer. What would he do over here? And Tosfos Chanz answers, okay, he would hold like Rabbi Akiva that we're not using the Kavah Chomer anyway, we're using the Pasuk. Therefore, we don't have to worry about it. Okay, the Gemara says, Ikel Mifrach. You can shlog up that Kavah Chomer. Ma'al Tevul Yoim Shekein Avatuma. Because consider, a Tevul Yoim has something strict about him. He was an Avatuma. We're assuming at this point that we're talking about a Tevul Yoim, not, for example, he touched a Sheretz, let's say, but he's a Tevul Yoim from having been a Zav, a Matzorah, or what have you. That's a very strong, he himself was an Avatuma. How could you compare that to a kikar sheni, a loaf of bread, which is a sheni of the tumah, which never was any higher level of tumah? That point still remains. He comes mikoyach, a very strong kind of tumah.
If you parallel them,
the answer is tasty mitzvoyim b'sheretz. Fine, never mind the tivoyim from tumah tzaraf, zav, or what have you. Fine, instead use a tivoyim b'sheretz. He himself wasn't an avat tumah. He himself was only a rishon. And yet, so then fine. Okay, Ma'alot Tvulyam, the Sheretz became a Mine Avatoma. Fine, but you could argue then that a Tvulyam of Sheretz, there is, again, something more stringent about it, in that there is a person, we're talking about over here a person, a Tvulyam. A person, or a Kavi for that matter, is capable of becoming an Avatoma. A loaf of bread can never become an Avatoma. The maximum a loaf of bread or any other food can ever be is a Rishon Latoma. So how can you make a Kavah Chomer from a person? Fine, even if he's a Tevul Yoim only because he touched a Sheretz, in this particular case he was a Rishon L'Tumah. But a person is capable of being an Avat Tumah. The answer is Kli Cheres Yechiyach. Fine, then instead I can prove it from the case of a Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres also can never be an Avat Tumah. Again, the maximum it can be is a Rishon L'Tumah. And yet, and we say the same thing, that a Kli Cheres, even though the maximum it can ever be is a Rishon, nevertheless it makes Truma Tomei. So therefore, yes, we can use that as a basis for a Kavah Chomer Madoch, a Kli Cheres, where the most it can ever be is a Rishon, and it makes Truma Sheni, it makes a Sheni, which it makes food that it touches the Sheni of the Truma, like the case of the Sheretz and the oven. So how much more so then we would say that a loaf of bread with the sheni l'tumah will make the next loaf of tumah shlishi l'tumah. Okay, the question is still malak chicheres shekein metamei ma'avirai. Fine, you can argue back a kli cheres has a chumra of its own. The fact that a kli cheres is unique in the fact that it can become tumei from its airspace. No other kind of thing can become tumei that way. A person can't. A metal keli can't. Nothing. A food can't. That's considered a chumra. Okay, we'll go back to Tevul Yoim Yechiyach, and we'll go back to the Tevul Yoim, the case of the person who was a Tevul Yoim from a Sheretz. He doesn't become Tomei by something hanging inside his mouth, for example, and yet we say that he's able to be Metamei and Posel Truma. B'chazir Adin. So we go back and forth. Whichever one you want to slog up the Kavah Chomer one, I can show you. You want to say, for example, the reason why the Tevul Yoim Pasul's Truma makes it, you would want to argue that the reason why a Tevul Yoim is able to make a Shlishi when it comes to Truma is because he has that stringency that he could have been an Avat Truma. Fine, but a Kli Cheres can't. So you see, it's not because of that. A Kli Cheres, you're going to argue, can become Tomei from the inside. Fine, but a person can't. You see, the reason that a Kli Cheres is able to make food, a Shlishi of the Truma, is not anything having to do with the fact that it can become Tomei from the inside. Because a person is able to do the same thing and they can't become Tomei from the inside. So that's how you go back and forth like that. Atzada Shavu Shavan, what do they both have in common? Each one has a feature that the other one does not have. So neither one can you say that feature is the reason for the special din that can make a shlishi, that can make a shlishi the tumah. Atzada Shavu Shavan, what do they have in common? Shemotorin b'chol u'pos and b'tumah. That all of them are mutter when it comes to cholin. But they all pass Truma. They all make truma, shlishi l'truma. Kol shekin kikar sheni. So how much more so a loaf of bread, which is a sheni, should post the chulin, which actually which is possible by chulin in the sense that a loaf of bread, ma'ati sheni, which itself is a sheni of the truma, is also to eat. How much more so for the possible truma? How much more so we'll argue that it passes truma? When we say over here, by the way, shemutorin b'cholin, by the way, Rashi had a big problem with what does this mean, mutorin b'cholin? What does that mean? I mean, a kli cheres, which is tamei, is in fact not allowed to be used. If by cholin we mean ma'ase sheni, then no, you can't use a kli cheres, which is tamei, for ma'ase sheni. Rashi starts by pointing out that you're saying, okay, maybe we're talking about, for example, a field kli cheres, that then if you have food inside it, it won't become tamei. But okay, then the problem is that then the same thing applies to truma as well. You can't say that it applies to ma'ase sheni; it doesn't apply to truma. So Rashi has a couple of other problems with it also.
So Rashi
instead changes the girsa. Rashi said changes the girsa, not that it's mutter by truma, but what did he say over here? I found a shavish man. He said that they both become tomei. They're both something that makes something else tomei. A klicheres can make something else tomei. A person that's ruyon can make something else tomei. And therefore they both passel truma. They both are able to make truma shlishi. And therefore we can generalize from that. In the case of loaf of bread, it itself is able, even though it's not able to make other cholim, even not able to make other cholim tamei, but it's able to make truma tamei, or possible rather. It's able to make a shlishi. Tosfos Shans has a long discussion about it, quotes from one of the Baalei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Meshulam, who wants to find a way to find for the girsa that we have over here, Mutorin Becholin. He talks about, let's say you have a case of a kli cheres that broke, and you have pieces of it that are still usable. Then we'd say they're not tomei anymore, and you're allowed to use them for ma'aser sheni. It's still a piece of a kli cheres, kind of. But okay, then. So it's a chance quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, who wrote him a long, flowery letter arguing against it. So thus far, Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai's Kavu Chomer. Now, what is he concerned about? We said in the Mishnah that he's concerned that Dor Acher, future generation, is not going to accept this halacha. Why not? That means they have to have some way of schlugging up that Kavu Chomer. The reason is v'dor achar parech, because this hypothetical future generation could slug up the kavu chomer. Mal asad ashavash behen shken yesh behen sad chomer. You know what though? There is something in common between the kli cheres and the teruyim. Each one of them has a certain stringency. Yes, you're arguing different ones, but nevertheless, they have a sad chomer. Now, so what does that mean exactly? I mean, Tosfos in Ksubas with a similar sugya, and Tosfos Chance over here talk about, I mean, any kavu chomer, whenever you're doing a tzad hashava, you could always say the same thing. Necessarily, everything has some kind of chomra. But the Tosfos over there in Ksubas and Tosfos Chance over here give a number of different answers that the chomra is a strange kind of chomra. For example, the concept, for example, that a kli cheres becomes tamei from the inside is something unique to kli cheres. You never find it by anything else. The concept that that's a special kind of chumrah, basically. The fact that a person is able to become an avatumah, is also something unique which you don't find in a lot of other things. As we said, we don't find it with klicheres, you don't find it with food. So therefore, these are kind of unique chumras, and therefore those kinds of, it's true, if you just have some chumra that you can find out of left field someplace, fine, maybe that's not enough to schlock up a kavu chomer, but a unique, weird chumra like that, maybe that's enough to say, okay, each of them has this unique chumra to it, and therefore maybe only in those cases do we say that they create a shlishi l'truma. Not in the case of food, let's say. Tosfos over there gives other answers. One of them is that in both cases over here, we're talking about that they started out of the rishon l'truma, they both became tomei. They both became tomei from an avatum. They both became tomei directly from an avatuma. The tvuyim, even if we're talking about a tvuyim of a sheret, he touched a sheret, which is an avatuma. The kli cheres, how did it become a rishon l'truma? From being in an oil ames, for example, and then becoming which is an avatuma. But therefore, you could argue that that's a fat chomer. But Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai, what would he answer to that? Fat chomer like Parach. He doesn't consider that to be a major objection. We have a valid kavah chomer. We had a kavah chomer using a fat hashava. You hypothetical future generation would argue fat chomer. I don't hold to that. But I'm concerned that future generation may consider fat chomer to be a valid way of breaking up this kavah chomer. And therefore, he was concerned about what's going to happen with this halacha, and now Rabbi Akiva came and said there's a profit for it. Tanya, we learn in a braisa further on this topic of Tumu V'Tara. So now we've established then that, we've established that there's such a thing as Shlishi L'Tumah when it comes to Tumu. And we said that the various things can accomplish that. A Tumu Yom can accomplish that. He makes truma. He makes truma a shlishi. Food that the sheni accomplishes it.
From the kavachomer.
Based on Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's kavachomer, or if the dor acha would slug it up, then instead we have Rabbi Akiva's possible. So I mentioned the other day actually that Rambam has an interesting halacha in Hilchos Mamrim that if a Sanhedrin in one generation comes up with a halacha based on one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatran of Yeshus Behen, and then a later Sanhedrin, a generation or two, or however many generations it is later, feels that it should be darshan differently, then they can overturn that halacha, even if they're lesser in greatness than the original Sanhedrin. Where does the Rambam get that from? There's a lot of give and take among all the Rishonim and Achronim where the Rambam gets that from. The Maharaj Chaya says he gets it from all Gemara over here, because Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai feel that yes, we have a Kavah Chomer, but a future generation might hold that this Kavah Chomer doesn't fit and change the Halacha thereby. So therefore we see that they would be able to do that. Now that Rabbi Akiva comes with a Pasuk, okay, they can't so easily slug that up. Mincha Chareva, in turn, argues with Maharaj Chayas on that. He says that a Kavah Chomer is different, since, as we said before, a Kavah Chomer is something based on human logic, therefore it's more logical that a later based thing can overturn an earlier one. You can't necessarily prove that, for example, now that Rabbi Akiva, darshan it from Pasuk Yitmo, which we're darshaning as if it's a Yitama, you can't necessarily say that the Dor Acher might be able to overturn that limud. Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai lived either side of the Churban. He lived through it. That's the famous story in Gittin about him getting himself smuggled out of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva also was born before the Churban and then lived after it.
If that's the case, what kind of other generation would be able to...
What do you mean? There was still Sanhedrin for many generations after that. Several hundred years. The Hillel Hanasi, not the original Hillel, but his descendant, the one who set up the fixed calendar that we have, lived almost 300 years after the Churban. And he was the head of the Sanhedrin, because he had to be, because they were the only ones who had the samchus to do that.
The Romans allowed?
No, that's the thing. They were interfering with it. That's why he realized this is basically the last opportunity. We should have a whole history lesson about it. We don't really have the time for it. But in Hillel's time, at that time already, the Roman emperors had turned Christian a few decades before that and were persecuting the Jewish people. At that time, there was one particular Roman emperor, Julian the Apostate, he's told in history, who wanted to go back to the old pagan Roman ways. And since the Christians were his enemies, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, so therefore he was friendly to the Jews. And then, so therefore Hillel and Nazi grabbed the opportunity. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Now we talk about Shlishi L'Tumah when it comes to Tumah. Now let's talk about Revi L'Tumah when it comes to Kodshim. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yosi, Minayin L'Revi B'Kodesh Apostle. How do we know that a Revi L'Tumah is Apostle, meaning, again, it's Tomei, but it can't make something else Tomei, when it comes to Kodshim? And again, we can use a similar logic as before. We can make a Kavah Chomer. Ma mechusik kippurim shemutu b'truma posel b'kodesh. A mechusik kippurim, somebody who already has tovold, already has had head of shemesh, but they have not yet brought their korbanos. A zav, for example, has to bring their korbanos on the eighth day of the tzora, etc. Shemutu b'truma, they're already allowed to eat truma. Posel b'kodesh, but they're still also to eat kodshim until they bring their korban. Shlishi should possible with truma. So a shlishi, which is possible by truma, where we said a loaf of bread, a truma, which is a shlishi, cannot be eaten. And the dinner, she asked to reviv a kurdish. How much more so that it should create the next level of truma, or reviv when it comes to kodshim. So therefore, lamadnu shlishi lakodesh minat Torah. So therefore, we learn the concept of shlishi, that there's a shlishi lakodesh minat Torah, based on either Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, based on Rabbi Akiva's pasuk. that we learn that din min atzora, would be the kav chomer, and we learn, or actually not from our kibbutz pasuk. We're going to quote a different pasuk in a second that shows the concept that when it comes to kodshim, there's a shlishi l'tumah min atzora. Uravim, the Kavachomer, the fact that the Uravim, the Tumah, exists when it comes to Kodshim, is only, that we only know from a Kavachomer, the Kavachomer that Rav Yossi just said. Shlishi, the Kodesh, Minat Torah, Minola, and how do we know that a Shlishi is happened by Kodesh? How do we know this Minat Torah? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Abbasu Ashi Yiga B'chol Tomei Lo Yachol, same Pasuk we brought on Roman Aleph, that the meat of a Korban that touches anything Tomei cannot be eaten. Now, when it says B'chol Tomei, can mean anything, any level of Tumah. Mila Yaskinen, the Noga B'sheni. So the pasuk can include also the case where what it touched was a sheni l'truma. That there's a certain thing of the sheni l'truma we know already from the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva quoted in the Mishnah, even without his drasha yitma yitama, we know from there that the oven is a rishon and the food is a sheni. So we know the concept of a sheni l'truma. That's called tomei. If the pasuk says avosu ashiga b'chol tomei, then it means that kol tomei could even include a sheni. But amar rachmana lo yachol. The pasuk is saying that this meat of a korban that touched that sheni cannot be eaten. There you go. So now we know the such a thing as a shlishi when it comes to kodshim, minat Torah.
Because it cannot be.
Because we're saying it can't be. Ravim, kavachomer, kinam moran. And how do we know ravim? That's as Rav Yossi had just made his kavachomer based on the Mechusa Kippurim. And again, Rashi points out the same issue with dial of omen and didn't is kenodin. And again, Rashi gives the same answer that without that you wouldn't have a limud at all. Because once we know from the pasuk that we just said that there's such a thing as shlishi by kodesh, then you would know it. And then you would know it by they have to be the same. Yeah. Yeah, so the same thing, in other words, yeah, because Truma, Kodesh can be learned by the same Kavachomer that we used before from Tvoyoim. So without, if you're going to use Daya, you're not going to have a Kavachomer at all. Same logic, then. Amr of Yechanan, Tam Beribi Eni Adeya. You know what? I don't understand the reason of Beribi. Beribi means Rav Yossi. Beribi literally means the great Talmud Chacham. So I hear what he's saying, but I don't understand what he's saying. Sharei Truvasi B'tzidei. He's saying that you're learning by a Kavachomer. But how? Sharei Shuvasi B'tzidei. That the answer, the refutation of that Kavachomer is right there, as right there at side. Because Oichal Avomach of Tzvulya Mechiyach, because you can disprove this Kavachomer by looking at what happened to food that was touched by Tzvulyaim, Shah possible Truma Veina Oisi Rabi B'Kodesh. Such food, we just said before, is possible by Truma, it'll be a Shlishi L'Truma, but such food does not create a Rabi when it comes to Kodesh. Even though that food is a Shlishi, that in that case, it doesn't create a Rabi.
How do we know that?
Ditanya, as we learn in the place, Abba Sholem, a Tzvulyaim Tchilu L'Kodesh. Abba Shol says that a Tzvulyaim, when it comes to Kodshim, even though normally a Tzvulyaim is considered a Shein of a Truma, when it comes to Kodshim, we upgrade him, we consider him a Rishon, Tchilu is another way of saying Rishon, when it comes to L'Kodesh, L'Tamishnaim V'Lifsalechon, in the sense that he can be Metame the next two things and possible the third one. Meaning, we consider the Tzvulyaim a Rishon, the Truma, so he touches some food of Kodshim, it becomes a Sheini. That Sheini can touches other food, becomes a Shlishi. We have two that are Tomei, therefore, Sheni and Shlishi, and one more, the Ravi, which becomes Possel. Rav Meir, I remember Tamei Echad Apoitzel Echad, Rav Meir says that it's Metame, that he's Metame one and Possel's one. Rav Meir all these consider a Sheni Latoma, so therefore all you have after him is Shlishi and Ravi. Rav Meir, I remember Tamei Echad Apoitzel Echad, I remember the Chachamim say, and we're assuming at this point that Rav Yossi holds like the Chachamim, Kashem Shapoisel Oichel Truma Mashke Truma. No, just as a Tzvulyaim only passels Truma, food and drinks of Truma, only makes him a Shlishi, Kach Poisel Oichel Kodesh Mashke Kodesh. He only makes Kodesh, food and drink, a Ravi. In other words, according to the Chachamim, the Tzvulyaim is not specifically a Rishon or a Sheni or a Shlishi, not specifically a Rishon like Abashol, not specifically a Sheni like Rav Meir, but rather he's a Sheni or a Shlishi depending on what he touches. Whatever he touches becomes the lowest level of Truma that particular thing is possible to have. Shlishi by Truma, Ravi by Kodesh. So if we assume Rav Yossi holds that way, then you're telling me any Shlishi makes a Ravi, but you see over here a case of a Shlishi that does not make a Ravi. Because if he touches food of Truma, even though in reality a Tzvulyaim is a Sheni, but if he touches food of Truma, he makes it only a Shlishi, and that's it. Stops right there.
But we're assuming that's
what he holds. So the Gemara asks back, Masi for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asks back, Mimai did Rav Yossi Kerabonon Tzvirulei? Very well. Who says Rav Yossi holds like Kerabonon? Do you have a Kabashol Tzvirulei? Fine. Maybe actually he holds like Kabashol or like Rav Meir. The answer is no. You know what? We'll stop here for Meyer, actually. I don't have the time to get through the rest of the discussion. Okay, we'll leave it for tomorrow, Beth Hashem.